So let's just go into chapter 20 then right away and see now, after all that we've looked at, what this man's going to do again, brethren and sisters. It is quite amazing, isn't it? Well, just like us, really. Absolutely like us. This man, brethren and sisters, fits, I was going to say, into my life. I'll rephrase that. I fit in sometimes into his. It's mainly when I'm going down as well, rather than up. But you know what I mean. This is what happens here. Right. Abraham journeyed from thence toward the south country and dwelled between Kadesh and Shur. This is exactly the same place that Hagar was going the first time. Where to? Down to Egypt. On the way to Egypt. And he sojourned in Gerar. And Abraham said of Sarah, his wife, here we go, she is my sister. Now, according to my calculations, brothers and sisters, I'm not too good at maths. I'm with Michael Riley here. He's been my stay, brethren and sisters, this week so far. It's about 20 years, I believe, since the first time this happened towards Egypt. This is the second time after he said the first time, this is my sister. It's a long way to get to that, isn't it? The second time he said it, and it's about 20 years since the first. So there we are. And he's in contact here, of course, with Abimelech. Now this is quite interesting. Abimelech, king of Gerar, sent and took Sarah. I remember this, because this is going to fit in, brethren and sisters, shortly, with the greatest thing that's going to happen. But God came to Abimelech in a dream by night and said unto him, behold, thou art a dead man, for the woman which thou hast taken, for she is a man's wife. Fortunately, Abimelech had not come near her, and he said, Lord, wilt thou also slay a righteous nation? That's something else, isn't it? And whether you've noticed that before, king of Gerar, a righteous nation, in whose eyes? The king of Gerar, correct? Yes. But nevertheless, he said not unto me, she is my sister, and she, even she herself said, he is my brother. So he goes on two accounts, brethren and sisters, on Abraham's and on Sarah's. In the integrity, it's a lovely word that, isn't it? Have you looked in the margin, in the authorised, in this Oxford, it says, simplicity or sincerity. Oh, that's a lovely word, isn't it? Sincere. I have to say, brethren and sisters, there's not too much about these days, is there? Sincerity. So look at those words, you see. Another one of the words of Scripture that's gone out of our vocabulary. Why? It's not fashionable. Old fashioned. I have to tell you something. I'm not too fussed about being old-fashioned. Especially at my age, Brother Roger. There's something about it that's wholesome, isn't it, really? And this is one of those words, sincerity, which is absolutely wonderful. Yea, said God, I know that thou didst this in the integrity of thy heart, for I also withheld thee from sinning against me. Therefore suffered I thee not to touch her. Isn't that lovely? God had intervened in the situation again in exactly the same way and in more or less the same situation as he'd been in before. And he took God again to rescue him. Doesn't it always? brothers and sisters. All right. Now, verse 7. Now, therefore, restore the man his wife, for he is a prophet. First time. Now, who thinks of Abraham as a prophet? Hardly anybody. Father of the faithful, yes. A prophet? Wow, that's something extra, brethren and sisters, isn't it? One who speaks for God. Isn't that wonderful? For God. On behalf of a godly man. A man, brethren and sisters, who has stood in front of angels, who has communed with them, and who therefore has the experience not only to stand before kings here, and if you want a little cameo, brethren and sisters, of this, go to Psalm 105. It's absolutely lovely. Some of you may have that Liz, you know, you've got to keep your eye on that Liz. That Liz from Watford. Well, you know there, don't you, Liz, really? It's all there, you see. Now, the reason for all this is explained, really, and in verse 13. It's still talking, you see, about my wife and my sister. Verse 12, and yet indeed she is my sister. She's the daughter of my father, but not the daughter of my mother. And she became my wife. And it came to pass, I love this verse, I keep repeating this, but I still do, caused me to wander from my father's house. That's another first, brothers and sisters, wander. I've got a little comment here, I don't know whether you're going to like it, because maybe it's not been your experience. But you'll know it of others. Staggering about as a drunken man. Now it doesn't quite fit the analogy, but it's there, isn't it? All over the place. He wandered. Go to the 11th chapter of the book of Hebrews, and it will tell you, won't it? Exactly that. Now, this is thy kindness which thou shalt show unto me at every place whither we shall come. Say of me, he is my brother. Doesn't he spend a long time, brothers and sisters, in this chapter explaining who and what he is? His wife is it. It's his sister. Well, it's not. It's his half-sister. But he's explaining it all. Just look at all these verses here. But it's... Yes? I do, absolutely. Yeah. Oh, yes. I still think he is. Yeah. I think he's got himself into a situation, brethren and sisters, where fear wants to get... He's forgotten the shield, hasn't he? He's forgotten the protection. He's forgotten he's been visited by three angels. And he's... But it's his own fault. Is it not? He's done the wandering again. Hasn't he, brethren and sisters? He has moved, and he's coming to a situation which once again has encompassed him and the family. Absolutely. But he came across a man, brethren and sisters, who was honourable. Well, I think he was. Honourable. And so much so that Abimelech gives him, look at what he does. It's all added to Abraham's wonderful wealth. Verse 14, sheep, oxen, men servants, and women servants again, and gave them unto Abraham, and restored him Sarah his wife. And Abimelech said, behold, my land is before thee, dwell where it pleaseth thee. Margin, as is good in thine eyes. And unto Sarah he said, notice his words now, I have given thy brother, is that interesting? Thy brother, not thy husband,
So it had had some effect, hadn't it, on Abimelech?
Thy brother, 1,000 pieces of silver, behold, he is. Look at this verse, brethren and sisters. I'm going to leave your minds to run rampant now. Can't I? Just think about this. Think about the silver. Yeah, you're there, aren't you? And think about the covering unto all that are with thee and with all other. Thus she was reproved. Now, the outcome of all this, brethren and sisters, was, of course, that none of the household of Abimelech, at least on the female side, could have any children. You call that irony? Do you? So Abraham prayed unto God. What a wonderful thing to do. Hey, how about that? What does the Lord Jesus Christ say? Pray for your enemies. How often, brethren? What about the other one? Pray for them who despitefully use you and persecute you. I have to say, Lord, not too often. Not too often. You think, therefore, brethren, that that may be the cause of, shall I say, sometimes when we're in difficult situations, that has happened? Because our prayers have not been for these things. How often do I pray for them that despitefully use you? And if I do, brethren and sisters, what do I pray? Shall I tell you? Move them, Lord. That's true, isn't it? Yeah. Not perhaps, well, they're there for a purpose, Lord. Give me the strength to overcome it. You think about it, brethren and sisters, and see how devious we really are in our workings, not only one with the other, but with our God. And so, because of Abraham's praying to God, he heals the wounds of the household of Abimelech. Look why, though, brethren and sisters. Because of Sarah, Abraham's wife. Isn't that lovely? She who had been barren, whose womb had been shut up, brethren and sisters, who knew about all these things, is now in a household of women whose wombs have been closed. What irony, isn't it? As if to bring to bear upon this couple the very nature of what was going to happen to them. It's incredible. Absolutely incredible. Now, the angel comes again. Chapter 21. Am I on time, Roger? And the Lord visited Sarah, as he had said, and the Lord did unto Sarah as he had spoken. For Sarah conceived and bare Abraham a son in his old age. Look at this, brethren. Here we are again. At the set time of which God had spoken to him. Now, brothers and sisters, I'm going to ask you an intimate question here. Do you think, therefore, that from the time of conception, to the time when Isaac was born, Abraham would know when he was going to be born? Apart from the angels I'm talking about. What do you think? Sarah would know, wouldn't she? even if Abraham didn't, Sarah would. And so this set time, brothers and sisters, is quite important to us, isn't it? Abraham has a son, he circumcises him the eighth day, note the words, as God had commanded him. And Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born unto him. And he had waited 25 years for the fulfillment of the prophecy. 25 years. It's a lifetime, isn't it? Well, it's half a lifetime. Half a lifetime. What patience, brethren and sisters. What faith. The problem is now, of course, Ishmael was about, 14 years old? Thereabouts. And that's going to be a problem. Because, you see, verse 9 says, and Sarah saw the son of Hagar the Egyptian. I mean, notice how that keeps coming in. Hagar the Egyptian. It's always there, isn't it, brothers and sisters? The Egyptian was born unto Abraham, mocking. Wherefore she said unto Abraham, cast out this bondwoman and her son, for the son of this bondwoman shall not be heir with my son, even with Isaac. And of course, if you wanted to, brothers and sisters, you needed to go over again. The Apostle Paul explains it absolutely beautifully in Galatians chapter 4, doesn't it? Absolutely wonderfully there does he bring in, cast out the bondwoman and her son. The thing was very grievous in Abraham's sight because of his son. God said unto Abraham, let it not be grievous in thy sight because of the lad and because of thy bondwoman. In all that Sarah hath said unto thee, hearken unto her voice. That's different, isn't it? Or is it? How many times have you hearkened unto the voice of Sarah? Remember the last time he did? Bit different now though, isn't it? Why is it different, brothers and sisters? God's told him. That's the difference, you see. So, God says here in verse 13, I will make of this bondwoman's son a nation. Why? Because he is thy seed. Isn't that lovely? Thy seed. Firstborn, brothers and sisters. Keep that in mind. He was the firstborn of Abraham. Firstborn. There's a lot more, brethren and sisters, that you can say about that, isn't there? The difference being, of course, that it was with a bond woman, not a free woman. And that is the complete difference between bond and free. Absolutely. Let's just go on a bit. You know what happens? She's found in the wilderness of Beersheba. The water was spent into the bottle, and she put the lad a bow shot away. And waited, brothers and sisters, for him to die. How sad is that? I don't know whether you've noticed, brothers and sisters, but within the lives of these great men and women, there are some times when it is always tinged with sadness. We're not always meant to be on the top of a mountain with the sun shining, are we? No, we're not. And sometimes the valleys are deeper than we would like them to be. But nevertheless, we have to go in them. The great thing is, brethren and sisters, with the help of God and with a bit of courage on our behalf, we come out the other side. And if not, we're dead. Why? Because we're in the valley all the time. And that is in the shadow of death. And that's no good. And God hears the voice of the lad. And he says, God was with the lad, and he grew, verse 20, and dwelt in the wilderness, and became an archer, and he dwelt in the wilderness of Paran and his mother. But notice this. His mother took him a wife out of the land of Egypt. Here we go. That's the problem, brothers and sisters, isn't it? Now you can begin to see the difference between bond and free. Why is that? Because they're always going back to Egypt. They're always going down that way. Instead of the opposite way, brothers and sisters. And Abraham makes a covenant with this man Abimelech, doesn't he? And about water. Well, it's always about water, isn't it? Always. Always about water, brethren and sisters. And verse 27 says, and have you noticed this? I like this bit as well. Do you remember what Abimelech had given to Abraham? Look what he does now. Verse 27, Abraham took sheep and oxen and gave them unto Abimelech, and both of them made a covenant. Well, I like that. He gives you back what he's already taken. Apart from two things. Doesn't mention men and women. Does he? No, doesn't. But he'd given him back the silver and the gold, probably, and the flock. Now there's a nice little bit of a witness there, brethren and sisters, in that end of that chapter, isn't there? But look where he is. Beersheba. Now that's a long way down, isn't it? Now I want you to remember that. Beersheba. That's important. Well, it is to me, with my tale. Beersheba. I'd like you to just keep that in mind. And look what he does as well. He makes a covenant at Beersheba, and Abimelech rose up and Philcol, the chief captain of his host, and they return into the land of the Philistines. And Abraham planted a grove in Beersheba and called thereon the name of the Lord, the everlasting God. And Abraham sojourned in the Philistines' land many days. Wandering again. Now I have wondered, brethren and sisters, and this is only a thought, that when Abraham planted this grove, in your margin it says tree, doesn't it? Good. I wonder if there was an altar there as well. Now this is only supposition. I just wonder, brethren and sisters. Why do I wonder that? Because he calls on the name of the Lord. Now that's maybe nothing at all to do with anything. I just got this little notion about altars and Abraham, you see. Now let's move on very quickly, because then we're into something far-reaching, brethren and sisters. It opens with the words that God did tempt Abraham. And you're going to tell me that James says, and he never tempts. Or translate the word into test, but there's a big difference. You've probably already got that in your margins, or if you haven't, brothers and sisters, write it in. Test. I don't know whether you've noticed, brothers and sisters, but I always think that Abraham was ever wandering in the world. What do you think about that? Always wandering in somebody else's territory. Well, he must have been. He never had a place of his own. So he was always in the world. Here he is with the Philistines now. Look how they worked out, brethren and sisters. Came against God's anointed, and with one pebble he slew the great man. Philistines. Always in the world. Just like you and me. I know that little bit in the world, but not of it. Brothers and sisters, don't worry about that phrase. You're always going to be in the world, aren't you? And the only time you're not is like here. Or at the meeting. In the world. So you've got to put up with that. And it'll bring you all these trials and tribulations. It'll bring you all these difficulties and anxieties. And you will be in the trance, brothers and sisters. Sometimes on the top. But that's why we're here, isn't it? It's all to form our characters. You don't think the character of Abraham would have been formed, would you, if he'd have stopped in his tent under his tree? Of course not. Of course not. And here now, after all these years, brothers and sisters, he's on his knees again. Oh yes. Now what I would like you to think about this little section, brethren and sisters, here, is not just think about this. I want to try and transport your mind to a greater Father and a greater Son. Because I believe that in this here, Abraham could cast his mind forward and see the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ and how much it cost the Father to give the Son who had never sinned. Just have a look, shall we? Take now thine only Son, thine only Son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. I don't know whether you've got anything by Moriah, brethren and sisters. Have you? What have you got, sister? Yeah. I've got another little comment here you might like to write down, but you might like to look at the quotation first. Have a look at Deuteronomy 11:11. You don't need to do it now, because I just want to bring your minds to bear on this sacrifice. It says, Abraham rose up early in the morning, verse 3, saddled his ass and took two of his young men. You notice they're always young men. Well, there, with Abraham. Always young men. And his son Isaac clave the wood for the burnt offering, rose up, and went unto the place of which God had told him. Now, how many men have we got here? Four. How many men have we got walking to Calvary? How many? Correct. Four? Yes. Jesus Christ, two thieves, Simon, four men. Oh no, of course not, brother. Of course they want on their own. It's just the symbol of four men going to a hill. Four men here. Going to sacrifice his son. 3 days it takes them to get there. What would you be thinking, brethren? I wonder what God, the Father of the Lord Jesus Christ, would be thinking, not just for 33 years, but let's say the last week of the life of the Lord. offering for sin. Had to be done. There was no other way, brethren and sisters. This child who belonged to him, whose spirit and whose character was God's, Philip, he who hath seen me hath seen the Father, because he doth show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. And in him dwelt all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Here, brethren and sisters, was the Word made flesh, and we beheld his glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And he died for me. What about that? I have no words, brethren and sisters, that would adequately describe the love of God in the sacrifice of his only begotten Son. In fact, I would have to tell you, it drags me to my knees. Doesn't it? And if not, it should. You see, scarcely for some men would some die, and they would be sinners. But here is a righteous man dying for sinners to save me and you from the grave. Never forget this. He died for me before I was born. And I wonder about my election. And my question would be, who am I? Why me? It's good, isn't it? And they went both of them together. And the boy said, my father, and he said, just cling on to the word, brothers and sisters. Here am I, my son. And he said, behold the fire in the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? What would he know about that, brothers and sisters? Ah, it's all here, isn't it? Of course he would know. Had his father not made burnt offerings, brothers and sisters? Had he not fetched out of the flock that was wholesome, not lame, without spot and without blemish? And had he not offered it unto the Father, the Father of lights, with whom there is no variableness, neither shadow cast by turning? And here, brothers and sisters, is the God of Abraham. And they came to the place where God had told him of. Wonder if I could just turn up this quotation. 2nd of Chronicles, chapter 3, you know about it, but just look at it. Then Solomon began to build the house of the Lord at Jerusalem in Mount Moriah, where the Lord appeared unto David, his father, in the place that David had prepared in the threshing floor of Ornan the Jebusite, belonged to someone else, didn't it? The Jebusite. Oh, it's wonderful, isn't it? In that very place, brethren and sisters, that edifice that Solomon built to worship the God of heaven with his people, Mount Moriah. So it goes through in stages, and it's all him. I just want to take you back, brethren and sisters, to this 22nd chapter, because here is this place. Abraham called it Jehovah Jireh, as it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. Oh, no wonder he was a prophet. Think about that. In the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. And it was. This thing was not done in a dry tree, brothers and sisters, but in a green. He was transfixed on Calvary's hill for all the world to see. He who was slain for the sins of the world. Oh, for all to see. Jehovah Jireh, God sees, or as your margin will have it, the Lord will see or provide. And he does. And he did. Just once. Because that was all that was necessary. One sacrifice for sin. It's incredible, isn't it? But here, brothers and sisters, we're into this wonderful connection between Abraham and his son. And he says, by myself have I sworn. Have a look at Psalm 105 again. Because thou hast done this thing, and hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, that in blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thy seed as the stars of heaven, and as the sand which is upon the seashore, and thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies, and in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice. So Abraham returned unto his young men, here it is again, they rose up and went together to Beersheba, and Abraham dwelt at Beersheba. Fact. Now, brothers and sisters, I cannot drag out for you all the spiritual lessons and all those things that are written about this in the New Testament, together with the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ. It would take far too long, wouldn't it? I don't know what you think about what went through the mind of this man after all this, and he's now going to kill his son. And you might say, well, it's all right, Brother Ryan. I had no problem. No problem at all. He knew he'd be resurrected. Oh, really, brethren? Is that the answer? Absolutely not. Is that the answer? Of course he had the faith to know that he would be raised from the dead. But that's not quite the same thing, is it, as putting a knife through his heart? Absolutely not. What faith then, brethren and sisters, this man had, and when he was about to do it, stay thine hand. Isn't that lovely? So he was with him all the way, father and son together, to Mount Moriah, to sacrifice, and then back. And so was God, to Mount Moriah, with the Lord Jesus Christ, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? question or not a question? Not a question. Is it? Because God was with him. And God raised him from the dead. Because the Lord Jesus Christ had explicit faith in the power of the Father to do exactly that. What did the Lord Jesus Christ say? I lay my life down by myself. No man taketh it from me. This commandment have I of my Father. Right. So it was up to him. Oh yes, it was, wasn't it, brothers and sisters, to lay it down. No man taketh it from me. It wasn't, and if it hadn't have been, brothers and sisters, there would be no point in me sacrificing. Absolutely no point. What a man. And here it all is. Brother Mike has some lovely stuff from Genesis called the Gospel in Genesis. Have you heard it? Who hasn't? Very lovely, brother and sister. Absolutely wonderful. And here it is. You've got everything in here. This is the Gospel, brother and sister. The good news which was going to be translated forward to the life of the Lord Jesus Christ, to him that was going to come to be the Saviour of the world. Invest in a new covenant to save his people from their sins. Now, what's the other part of that subject, Brother Roger? The King of the Cross is trying. Right. Let's have a look then, shall we? How old was Sarah when Isaac was born? Thought I'd just test you now. 90? Oh, kind of problems here. Christabel is always problems. Right. Well, let's forget the one here, shall we? Let's say nice round figures, isn't it, really? Right. What does it say here? 127. Right. How old was he when she died? That's easy, isn't it? How old? I'm in the wrong place here. Thank you. 37. That's difficult, isn't it? 37. Isaac was 37. We got that. Isaac was 37 years old. Good. These were the days. Sorry, these were the years of the life of Sarah. Now I'm going to ask you a question. I'm going to ask you some more questions now. This is quite detailed here of the death of the woman who brought the seed into the world. This woman, right? Who was the only other woman whose death and burial is most detailed apart from Sarah's? Oh, no, not Rachel. Not Leah. No. Now you're getting close. Correct. John, hello. Well done. Make a note, brethren and sisters. Rebecca's nurse. Oh yes. Sorry? Rebecca's nurse. I've got a note here. Sarah's burial, apart from Deborah, that's the name of the woman, Rebecca's nurse is the most detailed. I'm going to leave you to find out where it is. Alright? I'm sure you'll find that. Now, brethren and sisters, Sarah died in Kirjath-Arba. The same is Hebron in the land of Canaan. Why?
Where was Abraham? Correct. Beersheba. Where's Sarah? Not in Beersheba, is she? Why is that? Do you think? Anybody? Yes, he said he has wandered off.
I'll try and correct that. He had wandered to Mount Moriah and back. Right? Why was Sarah not where Abraham dwelt in Beersheba? Now this is just a thing. Sorry? You're absolutely right, I believe that. I didn't know it was Brother Collier who said it, but I think Collier? Yes, right. Well, I think they had. And I think the reason for it, brethren and sisters, is Isaac. Now that's reasonable. Now, I know there are some brothers who say, Brother Roger, you're reading a lot between these lines, you know, aren't you? This is one of those scales. This is a civet of scales, this is. Well, I'm glad I'm in good company if that's the case. Actually. Now, let me tell you why. If you had brought up a son for 37 years, or a little bit less, and husband now says, well, Sarah, I'm going to sacrifice our only son. What a table discussion, brothers and sisters, that would be. What would you say? No way. But what would you do, sisters? What would you do? Huh? Yes, you could have tried that. Just one other thing, perhaps, that you may have done. And maybe it's this. Maybe you would have gone somewhere, an important place, Hebron, to pray for what? Correct. That's the sort of thing that you would do. And Abraham, of course, being the man of faith that he was, must have said, no, we're going to Mount Moriah. And so, I'm not absolutely 100% benefited, but there is this gap in where both of these now are. One is in Beersheba, and the other is in Hebron. That's sad, isn't it? Isn't it just? How long had they been together? All their lives? Haven't they? All their lives. And now here, after 127 years, they're apart. That's sad, isn't it? And Sarah died in Kirjath-Arba, the same is Hebron in the land of Canaan, and Abraham, notice the words, came to mourn for Sarah and to weep for her. And Abraham stood up from before his dead and spake unto the sons of Heth, saying, I am a stranger and a sojourner with you. Give me a possession of a burying place with you, that I may bury my dead out of my sight. That's stark. That's the reality, brethren and sisters, of the situation. And the children of Heth answered Abraham, saying unto him, Hear, my lord, thou art a mighty prince among us, in the choice of our sepulchres, bury thy dead. None of us shall withhold thee from this sepulchre, thee from his sepulchre, but that thou mayest bury thy dead. Now, brothers and sisters, it never crossed my mind until I started out on this road. And you think this cave of Machpelah is on its own. Not so. Well, isn't it? Oh, it's with the others. Just have a look. The choice of our sepulchres. Oh, they've got a few. Several. Maybe many. In which to bury their dead. And if you feel that the cave of Machpelah is this little clump of rock with a hole in the middle, brothers and sisters, let me tell you that's wrong. He bought the whole field together with trees, and he had a border all the way round. Not just a cave. I like to think about that. A field. Where's your mind? Who bought a field? Correct. I know it's a different thing, brothers and sisters. There you are. With the money he bought the field of the potter, Akeldama, it was called. Blood money. And here is Abraham, because he's got no land of his own, having to buy a piece of ground. Can I tell you something, brother? If you have no possessions, no houses or land, you'll own a piece. One day. It won't be very big, but it's the only piece of land you will own. It belongs to you.
50 years.
For how long?
50 years.
50 years. Fine. Yeah. I didn't know that. For 50 years. Mm. That was pretty scarce in Bournemouth, but there. Right. Piece of land. And Heth, brethren and sisters, is a wonderful man. You think about that as well. Now, why do you think Abraham comes in now with this, this sons of Heth? Well, I haven't got the time, but you need to go back to chapter 14. Because he helped him out, you see. He was a friend. And that's absolutely lovely. So, he communes with them. If it be in your mind that I should bury my dead out of my sight, hear me and entreat me, entreat for me to Ephron the son of Zophar, that he may give me the cave of Machpelah, which he hath, which is in the end of his field. Not lovely, in the end of his field. For as much money as it is worth, shall give me it for a possession of a burying place amongst you. Wow, how about that? Amongst you. And Ephron dwelt among the children of Heth, and Ephron the Hittite answered Abraham in the audience of the children of Heth, even of all that went in at the gate of his city, saying, Nay, my lord, hear me, the field give I thee, and the cave that is therein I give it thee, in the presence of the sons of my people give it thee, bury thy dead. What an agreement, brethren and sisters, it was with everybody. Everybody. And it was going to be Abraham's. Do you think he ever bought? And it's here. And he gave him money for the field. And he said, the land is worth 400 shekels of silver. And he said, oh, what's that? What's that? I don't want paper. You can have it. What's 400 shekels of silver? He's a rich man. And he said, weighed him the silver in the audience of the sons of Heth, 400 shekels of silver. Now look at these benefits. Verse 17. And the field of Ephron, which is in Machpelah, which was before Mamre, the field, the cave, the trees, and all the borders round about were made sure unto Abraham for a possession in the presence of the children of Heth, before all that went in at the gate of the city. That's it.
I haven't finished with Mac Bailey yet. I have for now. Tomorrow's a different story. And so they buried Sarah at 127 years of age. Now I've got another question for you. Do you think that after Abraham had taken Isaac to Mount Moriah, did Sarah see him again? What do you think? Well, brethren and sisters, you're right. It isn't mentioned, is it? Never mentioned. But, yes, you're right. Sorry? Did he? Who did? Yes, he did. But you're going too far. You're jumping on the pace, aren't you? Does he say why she was alive? No, he doesn't. I have to try and keep up with this list. No, he doesn't, actually. And I don't think you might, if you do, brethren and sisters, if there is somewhere that you've got a little note or whatever, that he actually went back to his mother after the sacrifice, I'd be interested. Because I can't. But it doesn't mean to say that, of course, it isn't there. So that's very quickly those three chapters. I'm sorry it's been sort of sketchy, but that's a lot to deal with in the allotted time, isn't it, really? So tomorrow, I'm going to take you to a passage of Scripture. Excuse me, Brother Roger, my friend. That I should have took you to when I opened this session, and I never did. What was it? The hole of the pit. Oh, here's what I just thought about that. It's the title of the first address. But I'll bring you back to that tomorrow. Because that's interesting, you see. And if you think about the hole of the pit and Machpelah, I'm going to try and bring those two together, hopefully. And then, what I would like to do, brothers and sisters, is bring you back to us and say, beyond.